Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramar Tefio on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience. And today, we here at Aramar Tefio would like to extend our sympathies to the runners and the bystanders who were killed and injured in the Boston Marathon. And we send out our sympathies also to their family members.
Hello, I'm Stuart Alexander, and once again, I would like to welcome you to the Socialist Insight. Ruth Ann just mentioned, I would like to start the program to extend our condolences and also our sympathies for the runners and the people that were participating there in the Boston Marathon for that tragic incident that took place. So we just want to extend our condolences as well. Today we have on our program is Mohammed Arif. Mohammed Arif, I've known him for several years, and here in California he has run as a candidate for governor on two occasions, in 2003 and also in 2010. And actually he ran as an opponent against me in one of those races. But over the years he and I, we have stayed in close contact. And today he is here in 2013. He is running as a candidate for the California 16th District Senate, California 16th Senatorial District. And I'm going to just like to welcome Mohammed Arif to our program today. Welcome to the program, Mohammed.
Thank you, Stuart Alexander, to invite me.
And Mohammed, you have been involved in you've been on the political scene for several years now. As I mentioned, in 2003, I believe that was the first time that you ran for public office. We had the recall election of Governor Gray Davis, and you were among many other candidates that were seeking office in 2003, and the person obviously that won that election was Arnold Schwarzenegger. But since then, you ran in 2010. What have been some of your political ambitions as far as running for state office in 2003 and also in 2010? What were some of the things that you were looking at that needed to be dealt with on a statewide level?
Yes, actually. Since 91, I am involved working as a social activist and a political activist, and I was doing a lot of community services for the different groups and community here in USA, in California. And then people like me, and they want me to run for California governor in 2003, so I got that opportunity. And that opportunity I ran for California governor as an independent candidate because people, I see they are suffering, and the real representation is not there because two-party mandate is almost same. They ask for the votes, and then later on they did not fulfill their promises to the general public. So we have to think out of the box, so that's why feel like I should run for the office. And after that, I found a good political party, and their agenda was compatible to my thoughts.
I see.
I joined Peace and Freedom Party of California, and I worked for the party, and I got membership at local level when I was living in Los Angeles County. And then I started working, and finally, they promote me, and I became a member of state level. So I am a member of Peace and Freedom Party, the Executive Committee, State Central Committee.
Now, as I mentioned, Mohammed Arif, you are now running for the State Senatorial District 16, and Michael Rubio, he was the senator that just resigned, state senator that just resigned from that office. Just fill in our listeners, what transpired, why state senator Michael Rubio, why he resigned from that office?
As he mentioned, I understand that this was the personal reason. He wants to give a little time to his family. But then later I learned from the newspapers that he got a job in Chevron, and they are paying him a good amount of salary. So he has resigned earlier, 2 years before his term expired. And that cost a taxpayer a lot of money. So governor has to announce an election. And we have, in fact, debate tomorrow here in Bakersfield. And five candidates are running for this office, and I'm one of them.
Now, I read some articles, and also I read on one of the sites they were mentioning some type of political corruption. What is there any truth to that? That there was any type of political corruption that led him to resign from that position?
In fact, I don't know the facts, but obviously, if someone come in with his constituency and with the American voters who trusted him and brought him in the office, he should not leave them in the middle of his commitment. So I don't know what was the emergency, but I have no idea. I don't have all the facts. But this is going to cost taxpayer a lot of money to arrange for a special election. And there we are running for this office. And I think this is not a right signal that, you know, people have to spend money. That money could be used for the productive and social work, for different type of educational crisis we are facing here in our district,
mm-hmm.
California. And we need money for the social services, for the health, for education. But, you know, we are wasting money here by having another election just because of this reason. So,
What are some of the areas that the 16th district covered there? I know the district, the lines for the district were changed, but what are some of the areas that the 16th district cover in California? I know it's most of the Central Valley, but counties does it cover?
Yeah, it's 24% of Kern County. Kern County is one of the county in the district, and Kings County is 100% in the district. Then we have some part of Tulare County, and 47% of Fresno County is part of this district, because in 2011 they redistrict, but they are going for this election with effect of old district boundaries. So I just mentioned you that we have 21 cities from Fresno County, and then we have 19 cities from Tulare and 11 cities from Kern County and whole Kings County. So four counties are the one we have the district facing here.
Now, what support, what groups are backing you or have endorsed you for this campaign that you have for this run? I believe it's May the 21st of this year. Is that correct?
Yes, May 21st.
Right. What type of backing, financial or groups that have endorsed you for this campaign?
I was endorsed by Peace and Freedom Party of California and many other small community groups who like me to run the South Asian people. They like me to run. They nominate me. And we have some Spanish working class people. They like me to run, and a group of immigrant rights, because I rally behind immigrant rights. We need immigration reform, and we want to get rid from these loopholes which we have here in the United States for immigration, and people, they abuse immigration laws. So we need some sort of a comprehensive immigration reform, And that's what I am pushing for, and I am an organizer for the immigrant rights.
Now, Mohammed, what I'm going to get into, we're going to talk a little bit about education in a few minutes, but I'm going to just touch on a few things that just was recently written, an article that was written about your campaign, and just would like for you to expand on that just a little bit. It says, Mohammed Arif said he is running to give a voice to the voiceless, namely poor, middle, and lower income and unemployed people. How do you plan to achieve that?
Yes, because you see, my competitors who are competing in this race, they raise quite a bit of money, and they are getting endorsement from the rich community and from the people who have money. But on contrary, I don't want to raise funds. I did not ask for donation, because I just want people to understand that I'm running for them, and they are unable to afford to donate my campaign, and they just want to give me the vote. So I urge those people who do not like the same parties running the show from last so many years, and they are taking their turn, Democrats and Republicans, if they are not taking part in the election, they should register and they should vote for me, and they should give me a chance as a third party candidate to prove that I'm really running for their issues. And those people are poor people, immigrants. I'm running for women rights. I'm running for the different voiceless people who are thinking they are not getting any result from those party candidates, Republican and Democrat, last year. So
now I noticed the next thing you said, a lot of voiceless people, poor people, and working class people, they should have a candidate that understand their issues. What are their issues, the poor, the working class people? Myself, as a socialist, I could expand on this probably for the next several days. But what are the issues that the voiceless, the poor, the people in your district, what are the issues that they are focusing on?
First of all, we have to create all type of employment, whether it is small scale or middle scale. We are after a different type of investment, which is on a big scale. Like capitalist people, they are in the business of refinery, oil refinery business. They are in mining, and we have to think about small scale industry. We have to give some bounties. We have to give some tax break for the small businesses, and we should go for microfinance so we can have poor people work as an independent employment, and they can encourage the home industry, like cottage industry, and we can make them self-employer, so they can start working instead of they depend on the check from welfare, or they are unemployed and they are frustrated, or a lot of people, they don't find job because they have slightly criminal record or like a misdemeanor or something, and they are unable, but they are good people. If someone make a mistake, it doesn't mean that we are giving them more depression, and we don't deprive them. So we have to think about those people who are unable to find jobs, who are unable to survive, single parents. This is just one of the examples. Single parents, they are having a hard time. They are unable to work. They cannot concentrate on their work, and then they have to take care of the kids. So I want to reform those issues which my constituency is facing. The majority of them are poor. Majority of them, they don't believe on political process because they are not getting any result from these two parties. These parties just have a lot of money. They raise a lot of money, and with that money, they claim many, many promises to the people, and then they go away. And they don't do anything which we have to do by mingling. We have to be among those people who are facing this issue. And sitting in the Senate is not going to resolve their problem. We have to go and sit in the Senate, of course, but we have to give some time to the constituencies, to give some time to the public and the people who voted for us and who are facing these problems. We have to give some time among people. We should not just ignore them after election. So I would like to put a complaint boxes on each block, and we'll have people participate in this type of public program where we can improve the situation and the local issues, what we are going to prompt. So I want
to be accountable. One of the things I see a lot of times, once politicians are elected to office, first of all, they have a closed-door policy, and then they're never out in the communities. How would that be different from you? What would you do different from the politicians that we see from the Democrats and the Republicans? Elected immediately, closed doors. How would that be different with you? Because obviously people don't want to go to just suggestion boxes. They want to be able to be in contact with their politicians, and they want to see results. The results obviously are not always immediate, but people are looking for results. How would you be a results-oriented state senator for the 16th District of California if elected on May the 21st?
Look, if I will be elected senator of District 16, I will take care of the district by giving my time. I'm going to participate in this different gathering. I'm going to sacrifice as many hours as I can put in the district, and I can plan from corner A to Z. And that's what my major plan is, that I want to mingle in the community problems and want to resolve it. And community is going to help me. The money, you know, only money you cannot depend. You cannot depend on your downline. You become senator, then you say, oh, I'm secured for 4 years and let's talk about it. I am giving my 75% of salary to some foundation. That's what I'm planning. I'll give my 75% of salary to create some foundations, and those foundations will collect more donation to help people who are facing drug problem in my community, who are facing poverty problem in my community, who are facing unemployment and health problem. And the feces are record highest. You know, feces are increasing, and people, they have to choose whether they have to spend on their feces, or they have to spend on their health, or their transportation, or their food. So I don't want the people who are trying to get knowledge, because knowledge and education is the key, who are trying to struggle. I want to help them. I want to create some program where they will help each other, but they need little support. So that support will come if I will take a step. Being a senator, I will, because I am not scared from anybody, because I am part of the people. People is my agenda. People are the power. That's my agenda. Money is not the power. But this thing makes me different from Republican, Democrat people, that I am depending on people, because I'm speaking from my heart. I'm not looking at any note, and I have to follow the guideline of the superior, of special interest, or the rich, super rich people, or the big money-making machines like corporations, the big corporations. This agenda is coming from my heart, because I am from the society, I am from the people. And these people, elect me, so I'll be a servant for them. So I have to serve them better.
Today we have Mohammed Arif. He's on our program today, The Socialist Insight. And we're going to be talking about several things, including our program is speaking about education in America, if it's the American dream or a nightmare. But we're going to talk about some of those things in regards to education, how it's relevant here in California and also nationwide. I just want to speak about a couple more things about your campaign, Mohammed. And there in your district, and of course I've been up and down throughout the interior of California on many occasions, and you have a lot of migrant farm workers that are working there in the fields on Bakersfield, throughout Tulare County, throughout Kern County, Fresno. But you have thousands and thousands of migrant workers that are working in those fields, and many of those workers are working right at minimum wage. and putting in 8 and 10 hour days of work. What is your position? How would you deal with that situation in regards to incomes when the party that you're with, they believe that it should be a minimum of $15 per hour, or it should be, they also stand for a living wage, where people can be able to exist on that income. But how would you deal with many of the migrant workers that are working in those fields throughout the Central Valley of California, addressing their issues?
The Central Valley workers, we have to give them an environment which is safe environment, and we have to give them wage which they can afford and they can survive with dignity. But right now, agriculture field is also gradually taking by the super rich, and the small farmers are suffering. They are unable to meet their expenses, and they are getting lost every time when they balance sheet. They are losing money. So we have to give some subsidies to small farmers and encourage them so they will not go out of business. And we have to solve their water problem. We have many other issues.
Mohammed, I'd like to just interrupt just for a second. Most of those farmers in the Central Valley, most of those are not small farmers, and many of them are being subsidized by the government collectively to the tune of billions of dollars as far as to make certain that they can be able to produce and also to protect their profits. How do you speak to that? Because we know that many of these big corporations that own those farms, that own those agriculture fields, they have cheap labor, but they also benefiting from subsidies that they're receiving from the state and federal government.
So that's what I come from, because I am from immigrant rights. I am for the worker rights. These workers need somebody speak on their behalf, and they can get fair share. They can get proportionate amount of profit or bonuses. And, small farmers are out of business. So I want to put them in the business, so that way our unemployment issue will go away, or minimum it will be reduced by encouraging or giving subsidy to the small farmers. So this is my agenda that I am running for the rights of worker, labor, union, and I'm running for small farmers, small businessmen, and I want to start microfinance. Microfinance is going to subsidize. Microfinance is going to give loan. Microfinance is going to help the small man, a person who does not have a lot of knowledge, doesn't have a lot of contacts, doesn't have good credit, doesn't have all these things because of this economy. And this economy is gone down, and this is not a small person fault. This is the fault of this big money-making corporation or banks. Or this is the fault that we spend money on war. We are under debt. We are under trillions of dollar debt. How come you tell me that we are giving freedom to the different nations all over the world when we are taking freedom, financial freedom, of our own people? So we need to first serve our own people. We have to see their financial problems. We have to engage them in a small industry so they will be able to produce, they'll be able to manufacture, they'll be able to trade, and they will do many activities. Look at China. China is getting better and better. Why? Because we are giving them business. Why we cannot give this type of business to our own people who are jobless, who are unemployed?
Let me ask you this. You mentioned China. Very, very interesting. They're getting better and better because they're being subsidized by the banks and the big multi-corporations that are going to China for cheap labor. The same thing is what we saw that we have seen in other parts of the globe where it's been a search for cheap labor. We see Walmart, they do well because they're receiving products from China where people are working for $2 and $3 an hour. or less, and without benefits, but those corporations are doing well. The big corporations are building their skyscrapers and building communities and like that, but the people are still, in many cases, you have two and three people living under one roof, two and three families living under one roof in China. That's the poverty conditions. But they're doing well, but they're doing well on the backs of working people and the suffering that they have to do or the sacrifices that they do. Should we expect to do the same thing here in California for corporations to benefit and for us to be able to exist on a meager existence?
What do you think that these corporations, American corporations, they are getting benefit out of investing overseas? So why they cannot pay more tax in order to resolve the problems of these people who are in the problem?
Well, I agree with that. They should be paying more taxes.
Yeah, my candidacy is about raising tax on 1%. These 1% people, they are getting the most of the benefit. They are getting most of the benefit of the population here, and they are investing overseas. If they are so sincere, they are just trying to double, triple, and they want to make their money goes up and up, and they become rich and super rich. That's what their agenda is. Why they cannot invest money here in United States and stop investing overseas? And once they stop investing overseas, we, as a legislator, we will give them benefit, and they can talk to us about it, and the cost will go low, but it will not be overnight. But look, if they will invest here in America instead of investing overseas, I know the cost will be up, but they are serving their country. And if they cannot do it, minimum they should, the money they are making, they should pay a good, reasonable rate of tax, because if they are paying less tax, then they are investing overseas. So who's suffering? 99% of people are suffering. They are unable to survive. So this is my agenda, that I want two things.
Yeah.
Number one, I want things, all level of products, goods, and commodities manufactured in America. The second thing, I don't want people to invest money overseas. They should give financial freedom to our own people. They should not think about making money all the time. They should think about serving to our own people. That's what my focus is.
Mm-hmm. Back to this situation when I was mentioning about the migrant workers who work in the fields. What do you think would be a fair wages for those people who work in those fields? A standard. In other words, if you were to say a minimum wage, we have a minimum wage, which is $8 an hour, which we know that no one in the U.S. can live on $8 an hour, not unless you're living with someone else. But your party, they say workers should receive a minimum of $15 an hour or a minimum or a living wage. How much, if you were to put a dollar amount on people that are working in those fields in your district, which are tens of thousands of individuals, what dollar amount would you put on that? In other words, for starters.
I would say a minimum wage has to be minimum $13 to $14 an hour, minimum wage, because that will cover the living cost. That will keep them in a dignified way, and if they want to work overtime, they should get 1.5 or the way they deserve, and they should get some bonus, some incentive in case if they produce more, in case if they are more efficient. So according to their ability, they should get bonus and bounties. So workers, we have to fight for the workers, because workers are the one who create the wealth. They are the one who make money for capitalists. They make money for the investors. So the worker, we have to give them regard. We have to give them grace. We have to protect them, and we have to give them a good environment. The investor have to understand. They cannot just say, minimum we pay you this much, otherwise we have many other people available, because a lot of people are financially deprived, and this depression is not going to resolve issues of our nation.
Mohammed, I'm just going to focus a little bit about education, and I'm going to get back to the workers' issues in a few minutes. We have a crisis, not only here in California, but also in the nation, where education has become completely unaffordable for our young and people deserving to people that are interested in improving their lives and their livelihood by going to the various universities, and then they're being strapped with debt. We see within the last 15 years, the cost of a four-year education here in California has quadrupled in many parts of the country. In some parts of the country, that cost has even been higher. What would you do as far as being a state legislator there in Sacramento if you were elected? How do you consider that we need to turn that tide in regards to the cost of education? Because many young people and many people that are seeking a higher education, they're being strapped with debt today, and they're being strapped with debt for a lifetime, because this is not debt that you can discharge or you can get rid of in bankruptcies. It follows you through life. How would you address that critical issue?
Being an educated society, we have to think about the technology. I believe on conference calls, I believe on a video conference call, I believe on different other methods we have to investigate and find out which can give more education and inexpensive way of education instead of offering loans and putting these people in financial and psychological trouble in future, because they are unable to pay, so their abilities will go down and their education, what they got, because they got so many loans and pressure, so their education will be obsolete, because they will be forced to work for any job because they have to pay back their loan. So we should not encourage giving loans to people. We should encourage bringing their costs down. We should encourage how we can educate people, how we can educate as many as we can with a low cost. So I will concentrate the methods and the way that we can use the technology and we can keep up a standard instead of having a competition to make money. One university has a different standard, the other university or college has a different standard. So,
do you believe education is a human right?
Education is not privilege. It is a human right. Education, I believe, is a need and necessity to educate. Look, if we will not have education, how come we can communicate? How come? Look, your background, you are a different background person. I'm a different background person. But you and
right.
I feel like brother because we are educated. We communicate. We help each other in a good way to bring the peace. And we help each other to bring the financial freedom for the people. So education connect the dots. So we have to make people educated as much as we can, but it has to be cheap, it has to be inexpensive, it has to be moderate, it has to be this
sense. But you say inexpensive. When I attended college back in the early 70s, and my other members of my family were attending college back in the 60s, education was free. Especially if you lived in the state, if you lived in the state of Illinois, if you lived in the state of Indiana, if you lived in Virginia, if you're a resident of that state, you were able to attend those universities in those states for free, the state universities. Do you, since education is a human right, should it be free today?
Yeah, but the problem is that in this capitalist society, we cannot make it free because these capitalist people, they created the way to get the education. So that person who is getting education has to get a loan on his head. So when he will come in the practical market, practical line, practical life, he is going to be under debt. And then he has to pay that debt. And he is spending his best time to serve with a minimum wage of his caliber. Okay, and, well, and he spent all his young life where he's supposed to learn more if the education will be free or inexpensive. He is serving the big corporation because a big corporation, they create a network, a map in the whole nation that they are taking the good and the best time of a person. So I would compare this thing with the financial slavery. This is a systematic way to use people for the minimum wage and put more loans on them and just keep them for the purpose of working for the big corporation. The big corporation will suck and they will take most of the profit. So you tell me, is that fair? This is that. So there's my constituency, there's my candidacy, there's my political vision come that I want to get benefit for the people. I'm working for the education right, I'm working for the human right, I'm working for the civil right, I'm working for the immigrant right, name it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what
first of all, I'll say that capitalism has been a complete failure. And I think anyone that's, you know, that has got received a wake-up call, they can see today that capitalism is not working. It's not working for working people. It's not working for homeowners. Wait just a second. After 2008, we can see that it didn't work for homeowners. We can see that just recently it was 550,000 people that did not even bother to show up to the unemployment lines again, so they just weren't counted again. And then the employment dropped by one-tenth of 1% to 7.6%. We know the real numbers are higher than that. We can see that it's more people. Here in California, there are more people that are homeless, and there are more there, for every person that is homeless, there are six homes that are vacant. So we can see, I could go on and on, that capitalism has been a failure. Now, we believe, and you come from a socialist organization and a socialist background, we understand that capitalism is not working. If we were to look at, under a socialist society, how should it work, and yourself, even though I'm not saying that you're going to be able to go to Sacramento and be able to revolutionize everything that has taken place in California politics, but what should be said in regards to a socialist point of view there in Sacramento, yourself running for the 16th district there in Sacramento, 16th senatorial district?
Stuart. This is not a matter of capitalism and socialism. You think that capitalism is failure. It is not failure for the rich people. The rich people are becoming super rich. The corporations are becoming biggest power. It's not failure for them. It's failure
for the people. Is it a failure for poor,
it's failure
working
for the people? It's a failure for the working people. It's failure for the common people, for the regular 99% people in America.
Yeah, and what we're talking about here is we're talking about working people having to pay the bill that they receive for education.
I'm just trying to explain you. You say capitalism is a failure. I'm just trying to distinguish that capitalism is failure for the people. Capitalism is not failure for the rich people. The rich people.
No, I agree. It's a booming success.
It's not failure. Look, they are using the population who deserve a proportionate profit and bonus out of what they produce, what they sell, what they trade. But they are in such a system of capitalism that they are not getting their fair share. And that's my candidacy, is that they should pay a little more tax out of the money they are making, and who is producing that money is the general public, the people. So if they can pay more tax, we can resolve this problem, we can resolve this issue. And look at the housing meltdown, all these failures. This thing is not in control of a general population, general public, because this thing, all these bankers and big corporations and their decision and all these, there was a fraud in New York. What was his name? $50 billion, the guy who, Ponzi scheme guy, who has done this. So, all this thing supposed to be regulatory, and all these things should be audited by the responsibility, but these things are ignored. And capitalism, all these capitalists, they just reinvest money and then they made more money and they did not even check the record of all these people, what financial things they are doing. And it led to the housing meltdown. And a common person normal person suffer day by day. And since 2007, you can see the houses' values are 50% down, and people, they have to be in foreclosure, and the people are homeless, like you mentioned. So this is not people fault. This is a system fault. We have to organize the system in favor of people by doing these main things that we should think about the society. We should think about the social benefit of the people, and we should take these people with us, and we should pay a little more tax. The rich, super rich people should participate, and we should not engage ourselves in some activities which will lead us to get involved in the war overseas. We should concentrate on the homeland security. We should concentrate on our people. We should concentrate to bring our people financial freedom, and we should uplift them from this financial crisis.
I just want to focus a little bit on the governor's budget, and that's Governor Jerry Brown here in California. In his most recent budget that came out last year, excuse me, the governor proposed a 5% cut in payroll costs, which amounted to employees having to work 9.5 hours in 4 days instead of 8 hours in a five-day week. So essentially, it fell on the backs of working people, state employees, to help to foot the cost of the state deficit. Much of that was created by Sacramento legislators making certain that they took care of the super rich and also special interests. How would you speak, yourself being there in Sacramento and there with the governor, how would you speak in regards to dealing with certain cuts that are being demanded of state employees as opposed to much of the reckless decision-making that has been made in regards to Sacramento politics, and also not being a friendly environment, helping to export jobs overseas and out of the state of California instead of creating good-paying jobs here in California that will help to generate revenues? How would you speak to the governor and be a voice there in Sacramento in that regards?
Yeah, I will not 100% agree because these furlough days and financial cut on working class is not fair. If we will just
so what's
think about
not fair?
You know, there's furlough days, giving few hours and not to complete 40 hours and not giving a complete pay, and all these cuts to the working class and the salaried person because they are unable to find a better job. And just because we want to balance the budget, and we are not thinking the people problem, we are causing more problems to the people. So I don't agree with all this type of cuts. Instead we do this, why we cannot raise funds to the people who are making more money, the super rich and the big corporations? Why we cannot raise more tax, and why we cannot recover temporarily? You know, the super rich and the big corporations are like a saving account. They are like a saving account. If a person is having some deficit, they can get the money from the saving account. So in this bad time, in this temporary economy crisis where people are suffering, the rich people should help by giving more tax, by taking care of the California balance in budget and helping California government and the people by giving more money to the state.
Well, one of the things when I look at the way and my opinion and feelings about Democrats are about the same as it is for Republicans. And when I look at the budget that the governor came out with last year and proposals that he has in his budget for this year, I just look at it completely as voodoo economics. And we've heard that term before, but it applies even more accurately now here in 2013, more so than it did back in the '80s and '90s. But it's voodoo economics. It's one of the things I've seen, and I hate to quote something from the Republican point of view, but it makes is very relevant. While this budget should be a reflection on the state's priorities, it threatens $6 billion in education cuts and lacks any meaningful reforms the people of California that they're looking for. Now, when I look at that, but it's not everything that you see in what this governor, what he's calling for, it is continuously, it's an attack in higher taxes. If the state doesn't achieve this, the workers will have to pay this, going after their wages. But everything is constantly on the attack or a threat to the well-being and security of working people. When you look at this governor, how do you plan to coming into this year and the budget that will be coming up this year, how do you plan to deal with this legislature, legislators, and also this governor to let them know that we need to put the interests and the needs of working people before the interests and the needs of big corporations and big business in this state? Because right now we can see, not only in this state, but we see it whether we go to Michigan or whether we go to the Midwest or whether we go to Pennsylvania, everything is being done where it's sacrificing to the needs of working people. How do you plan to address that?
Yeah, I will definitely address to the right thing, and the right thing is that we have to give more incentive to the workers instead of taking the basic and minimum what we are paying at the moment, and we are not getting the money from the super rich. We are not taxing the super rich and the big corporation, and instead we are having cuts on education and health and different other state employees, and this is ridiculous, and I don't agree on this thing. And of course I am for the rights of workers and labor union, and definitely I want super rich to participate. I want the big corporation to give more tax and resolve us in this budget crisis.
The other thing is, we have a few more minutes here. I might mention, and I would like to mention, that we have Mohammed Arif. He's has joined our program today here on the Socialist Insight. And Mohammed Arif, he has run for the governor for the state of California on a couple of occasions in 2003 and also in 2010. And he's a political activist, and also he works there in the Central Valley, there in Kern County. And he's presently running as a candidate for the state Senate district there in the 16th district, senatorial district in California. That election, special election, is to be held on May 21st, 2013. And again, Mohammed, we appreciate you joining the program today. And I might mention on such short notice, Mohammed, I like to, when I have traveled through the Central Valley on many occasions, you see the poverty and the despair that is taking place there throughout that region of the state. And especially when I've gone there in Fresno and also Bakersfield, you see so much homeless veterans. You see people that are homeless on the street, people that are out of work. How do you intend to address much of the homeless situation that you have there, where you can bring some type of relief and also shelter for many of those people that are left, many of them now are just without hope? How would you address that to be able to bring food, clothing, and shelter to those individuals?
This will be my first priority, because the homelessness and you know, not proper health and education. The homelessness is very, 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 very important issue. As a legislative, I would definitely have some funds, substantial funds available. And we are going to have these people towards the working class, and we will create some jobs for them. And as soon as...
And what type of jobs would they be?
And it depends what they deserve and what they know and what is their skill. But, you know, we have to bring them from one point A to point B, because we have to uplift. We cannot ignore them. We cannot just let them have a welfare check or have the little bit, you know, aid every month, which is not substantial. So that's why...
Well, let me ask you, if they need a welfare check, should they get one?
No, most of them, they even don't know. They don't have a proper address. They don't have a proper guideline. They lost
their mind. But should they receive monies and funds where they can be able to receive, obtain something to eat and put clothes on their back?
Of course, they should have funds. They should have money. They should have jobs. And, you know, all these things can be resolved by visiting them, by creating some committees, local committees, and by listening to their problems. Not just we just have some cuts and we don't get money from the rich and we don't serve to the poor. So this gap is getting more and more in my constituency, in my district. I am looking at the people. They are getting on the street, they are going out of business, they are unable to pay their share of their rent, or the people who are supposed to pay their mortgage, they are behind and getting foreclosure. People are getting unemployed, businesses are going out of business, and we have to help all these small-scale people. We have to create a program where the private people, the government and public works program, they meet and work together in order to give the benefit and the prosperity of a common person, a normal person, a citizen who is on the street. It doesn't look nice as a human. It doesn't look nice as a politician. And it doesn't look nice as a responsibility. This is our responsibility that we have to help from the bottom up, not taking care from up to down, because the people who are super rich, they are already making their money, and they multiply, and even they don't care investing in America, they invest outside where they can get most of the benefits. So we should not even think. So that's what I'm just running for, the poor people. I'm running for homeless, the jobless, and the people who are suffering in their business, and they are getting negative profit, I mean no profit, they are going in loss. So we have to think their issues, and we have to be very active, and we have to make some network where we can help them, and we can create some public program. And you can also see my website, MuhammadAreef.com, and you can see the issues I'm facing in the district, and I'm willing to help people. Contact me. I have an email address, which is senate16@muhammadareef.com.
Just a couple other questions. I appreciate you giving that contact information, Muhammad. Muhammad, there's been plans to put a high-speed rail through the Central Valley for well over 2.5 decades, and it just has not happened. And the cost has gone up almost six times what the original projections was for building that. And usually when we see projects like that, when they eventually happen, then it just the big corporations receive huge amounts of profits and also public funds to build these projects, and they don't really create jobs. Much of this high-speed rail, if it happens, would be right there in your district, going through the state of California. What is your opinions about the high-speed rail and the probability that we'll ever even see a high-speed rail here in California and creating good jobs?
I think I am for this transportation, and the rail will give benefit to my constituency and my people. They will be able to travel with convenience and inexpensive way because this will be good opportunity for the middle class and poor people, and they don't have to have expensive transportation. And I think I'm for that, and it has to be this plan has to be resolved as soon as possible. I think there are some funds we are not getting. And this thing is just prolonged and discouraged, which is not right, in my opinion.
And the last thing I'd like to ask, Mohammed, is do you have plans of running for governor again? Because obviously you've run before, and obviously you have a lot of experience behind you in regards to campaigning over the years. But do you ever intend to run for California governor in the future?
Yes, but this time in 2014, I'm going to run for the same district if I will not win. I'm trying my best to win this time, senatorial district 16. But in 2014, I'm planning to run again if I fail this time, because my constituency need me, and I have a majority of the people who do not have representation, and they happen to be poor and middle class and homeless and jobless and single parents, and you name it. You know, everything is available in my constituency. And people who are my competitor, they just come and go. They just come at the time of election, and then they don't turn back and look at the people. So I'm very much fed up, and I think I would like to concentrate in 2014 in my district, and I will work with all type of communities, especially I have communication with Southeast East Asian, I have communication with the Spanish people, and African American, the black. So I like them, and they like me, and I would like to work for them.
Well, again, we have Mohammed Arif. He has joined our program today on the Socialist Insight, and I would like for you to just give your contact information before we go off the air.
Yes, my website is mohammedarif.com, which is MOHAMMADARIF.com, one word. And my email address is Senate 16, it's a number, Senate16@MohammedArif.com. So anyone can send me an email if there's any question, there's any feedback, there's any volunteer work you can do. I would love to do it, but I'm not collecting any donation because I need vote. I don't need your money. I want to give my time. I want to serve you guys. And my district and my constituency need a person like me. So what I'm requesting, that give me a chance, give a third party a chance, because Democrats and Republicans were ruling on you for a long time, and the problems were never solved. The problems multiply. And give me a chance, and I'm going to be among the communities, and I'm going to be among the district, and I'm going to sacrifice my time, and 75% of my salary will be spent to homeless, to jobless, to small businesses, and I'm going to create some foundation and encourage people like me who can participate their time, their money, to resolve all the problems.
We appreciate you joining the program. And to contact the Socialist Insight with your comments, just go to StuartAlexanderCares.com. That's StuartAlexanderCares.com. Go to the contact section, contact link, and post your comments. We'd love to hear your comments, and also for you to get into our programs by joining us on a chat from week to week. Mohammed Arif, again, thanks for joining the program. And next week we'll have Alan Mackey. He'll be joining us, and we'll be looking forward to having all of our listeners join us once again. Thanks again, Mohammed. Look forward
to
seeing you next week. Good night.
Thank you very much for inviting me. Good night. Thank you.